pays per interview with us, then we're going to break down here.
This is going to be expensive.
No.
No, I know. Those tapes, I bought one of those because I had to put a, had to put a short speech on a tape, and I was surprised how cheap they are.
These are...
About 75 cents?
About that much, maybe a little bit more. I buy them in bulk from a company that's, which is, which deals only in tapes, so I get them fairly inexpensively. Gosh, what else do I want to ask you? I know that there was, there are a couple more things here. Oh, yes, of course. Your work as chair of the department. You've served two terms, basically. Did you enjoy that work?
Yes. It was additional, it was an additional chore. But it was okay. The group was always small enough that for the most part, there was pretty much a meeting of minds. We had a couple of people who were there for only a short time who didn't see eye to eye with the rest of us. But as I say, we were a small enough group. We were housed close enough together. We were exchanging ideas mm-hmm. very frequently. And it was just another part of your job.
You were chair first from 48-49 through 49-50. And that was a time period when there was considerable growth.
There was a lot
of
growth.
That caused you a lot of problems?
Not a lot of problems. We had a few. We had a couple of unhappy people for one reason or another, either because they felt they weren't being appreciated. One man, I think, who felt that we didn't really understand him and appreciate his genius, and he wasn't being advanced fast enough. Another one, we had at least one about whom the students complained bitterly. And eventually, he left.
On his own? He didn't
on his own.
Have to
he had, I think quite a few people would agree, a rather unpleasant personality, bright in many respects. We had quite a succession. Some of them had come from far away and decided they didn't like San Diego or that the school was too small. And you see, we did not have university status for a long time. And some of these men were very ambitious and felt that they wanted to get to a university, regardless of how where it was or how big or how little it was a university. Mm-hmm. It was a terribly important thing for some of those men. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it was real or not, but they felt that way. And I know several of them, who were angling for other for jobs someplace else because they felt that their professional advancement depended upon what they wanted to do.
How prestigious the institution.
Hmm?
How prestigious the institution.
That's right.
Sometimes they
settle for something pretty small potatoes, but it was a university.
Mm-hmm.
And there were others who, as I say, I know one man who had come from LaSalle. And he had a chance to go back. He was good, and I think he just felt that he had more opportunity there, and that he liked it better. You know, you can't. Some people don't transplant very well.
Yeah.
Not when they're really adults already, and they have families, and they have families someplace else.
We'll say that. I want to transplant.
I know. And they felt happier there. And we always carry the heavy load. I don't think our salaries were ever very spectacular.
That's a question that we skipped over only because it was out of place by the time I got around to asking. What were the salaries like when you started working as opposed to when you retired?
I can't remember. The only figure I remember is my beginning salary. It was $1,800 for the year. Because in the city schools, I would have been able to earn $1,868.
More.
More. $5 more a month. I remember that so vividly because I taught in the city schools because it was an opportunity, and I knew that if I could do that for a year, I could probably get the other job, which I really wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the time came, I told the principal of the high school I was going to leave. Well, he told me, rather, I thought, I don't know how to put it exactly, but anyhow, that he had decided to recommend me for another year. I think it was you know, as if he were doing me a very great favor, and he probably would have, because I don't think I was very good at teaching junior high school students. And so I was able to tell him that I was going to go to state college. And I remember he said, but you'd get more money here. I remember thinking, $68? Even that day, it wasn't going to. And our salaries advanced fairly slowly, and mine very slowly, because I did not have a degree. And that was a very deliberate move on my part. I knew that I would not get the promotion for a long time, and I didn't care.
That really spurred a lot of people on, I noticed.
Oh, sure. They just went out and got it. And some of them got them in the rather strange circumstances. That sounds like sour grapes. But a lot of them got their degrees while they were still teaching, and it was mighty hard work.
Yeah.
I knew that I wasn't going to get it, and that was one thing I had settled for. We were a two-income family. Neither one of us were paid so lavishly, but this is the way we chose to live. And I preferred to have my time in the summer to go, and as we did a lot of it, we did a lot of camping and a lot of traveling and seeing country, which I felt was more profitable for me than doing a library study of some kind, perhaps.
Tell me about your travels. Did you ever take any sabbaticals?
I took only one. I took one in 61, and went around the perimeter of the United States. But before that time, I spent 4 months in Europe in 31, and another couple of months in Panama in 34.
Oh, is that right?
And then in between times, got to Canada, to Alaska, to the East Coast. These were shorter summer trips. And then we did a lot of camping, especially when Jim was small, because that's one thing you can do with youngsters. And I think we did the Pacific Northwest and California and Arizona pretty thoroughly. Most of this.
Did you spend a lot of your summer vacations traveling or camping, gathering research for your classes?
Almost always, some every summer, and in between times as well, because we enjoyed doing that, and it was also profitable.
You found it was very useful for your for your classwork,
sure.
Yeah.
I thought it was essential, because you can describe country a lot better after you've seen it.
That's true. There's no way you can possibly describe the Sierras if you haven't been there.
No, I was just talking. I think of the Sierras. We did a lot of the camping in the 50s in the Sierras because at that time a lot of the state parks were absolutely new, and they were wonderful, clean, safe. Mm-hmm. And the same thing was true up in the Redwood Country. There were a lot of parks, new parks up there, as well as old ones. But I think of those new parks, how pristine they were, and how pleasant it was. They weren't
not
crowded.
As crowded.
They were not crowded, no. And today, I don't know what it would be like.
They're not very pleasant.
And it can't be, when just millions of people have been crawling over them, as it were, and you're practically. I it was later on, someplace, I remember a campground, and someone had taken an old army blanket. You know those old khaki army blankets from World War I? And they had strung it up somehow between themselves and the camp, which is right over here.
Oh, for privacy.
For some privacy. Yeah. Isn't that too bad?
They're horribly crowded conditions. We were driving north last summer, and we had to stop at a state camping ground near the beach, and we camped there just for that one night, and it was a horrible experience.
Yeah.
It was noisy and crowded, and it was all
bad. Well, now in Yosemite, I know today you have to have a reservation, and I think they've tried to keep the crowds down. I don't know if they've been able to or not. But I can remember my first experience in Yosemite was in 1924, I guess, because I know I was still at Berkeley. And we camped there, and it was just lots and lots of open space. You hiked up to the falls. You meet a person occasionally, but
Yosemite is where we're going this week.
Are you going? Where are you going to go?
Going to hike into Emigrant Meadows Lake and Dorothy Lake. Now, I don't know if it's technically in Yosemite or Tuolumne. It's somewhere.
We took a horseback trip back in 52, I guess, up to May Lake and then Glen Allen and Tuolumne and Vogelsong.
There is a horse trail that goes
and that's, it's been there for a long time, I'm sure. But if you're not used to hiking and you're not used to being at elevations,
you gotta be careful.
Well, my husband had enough of a heart condition. Riding on a horse was at that elevation was enough effort for him. I mean, while I did field trip, I never had done enough hiking to have wanted to take that. Besides, Jim was only 12 for such a matter. So.
Yeah. Oh no, not for a young child.
And we like mules. I like mules. I like horses.
So do I.
And
so I've never been on a
mule
pack trip before.
Oh, are you going to go in with animals? You're going to go on foot.
Foot. Mm-hmm. That's the way we do it every year. Mm-hmm. And we have to get in shape beforehand. It's rough. It really is hard.
Oh, I know. No, and if you're not in shape, you can be so miserable.
Well, that's why I've been. Maybe I get out there and mix or something. Yeah. Well, we're getting off the subject of SDSU, but that's just about the end of the questions that I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell me about state?
No, you think about these things later on.
I know. It's what everybody's concerned about. If you can remember, if something pops up, if you remember something all of a sudden, maybe you could jot it down and give me a call or send it over to me or.
This is for the official. This is for the official. Of course, if we were running a gossip column, we could always do a little on that. But I think this, I'm afraid, won't qualify.